if you're worried about replacing jobs, remember the word and the phrase is AI will only replace jobs and those that don't learn how to use AI on their job.
Get ready for a new episode of KP Talks Dollars and Cents. Learn financial literacy and get real-time updates on all things housing, finance, and real estate. So let's get started. Here's your host, Kevin Perenio.
Hey, it's KP coming to you live from Las Vegas. We are right here in the Wynn, the ICE Experience 24, ICE 24. It is live, kicking off for all of our motorheads. Got a little McLaren over there. Anyway, I'm headed to the ICE Executive Summit dinner at Delilah, and should be a awesome event. It's been a great event so far, and you know, ICE is they bought Black Knight, and they are a massive data provider, a huge software company in our industry, and technology creates efficiencies. Everyone's trying to find better, faster, cheaper in that order, and best, fastest, cheapest, whatever you want to say, and that's what technology does. And it used to be, you know, cheaper, better, faster, pick two, and now it's better, faster, cheaper, it's all three. So software helps us gain productivity, efficiency. Now, the labor force in America didn't see much wage inflation in the last jobs report because productivity is up. Our wage inflation was one of the big inflation scares the Fed is trying to fight. And the last reading, the last couple readings have been pretty tame. So we don't have a lot of wage inflation. And again, one of the big reasons is productivity. By the way, I'm about to walk through like the hot corner here. This is the B bar. This is like where it all goes down. It is a very fun event, very well attended. Everyone's doing dinners right now, and then they come back and congregate like right here. So the B bar. Anyway, just give you a little conference show chips there. Okay, so the actual workforce hasn't really grown. We've had a lot of people get out of the industry and retired. We had a lot of people during COVID leave the workforce. And our birth death rate is actually slowing in America. So our workforce is not keeping up with the demand of work needed. And that's where technology comes into play. And every time you see a big bull market run like we are, in the stock market, which I am not a financial advisor, I'm not responsible for your losses, only your profits. But when you see a big bull market run like this, it usually is on the back of a big labor shortage and technology gain. So we're here, we're trying to gain advantages to take advantage of the fact that, you know, our business is complicated, there's a lot of regulation, and overall, and not just in our industry, but everywhere you're seeing, you know, massive productivity gain due to technology. So that's another reason why the stock market's running. That's why AI is running. Any pretty much stock tied to artificial intelligence is having massive gains because it helps with massive gains in productivity. If you're worried about replacing jobs, remember the word and the phrase is AI will only replace jobs and those that don't learn how to use AI on their job. There's Delilah, nice little restaurant. By the way, this little quiet place, Wing Lang, has like amazing Chinese food, and it's like super low key and off the grid, and no one ever goes there. There you go, ma'am. You're welcome. So the Fed is speaking over the next 2 days. Wednesday is the big day where, you know, they have their Q&A session. They announce their rate plans. Are they gonna cut? But remember, the dot plot is coming out. In the dot plot, which is just a nickname for the SEP, the Summary of Economic Projections, and every other meeting the Fed gets to say where they think the unemployment rate is going, inflation's going, rates, interest rates, Fed cuts, how many. Maybe they'll talk about the neutral rate or real interest rates in America. Inflation is still coming down, even though it's gotten a little sticky lately. But again, we talked about in my last video the difference between the Fed funds rate and where inflation is. Fed funds rate has been steady up here, high for longer, and inflation keeps coming down. That delta right there is the real rate. It is sufficiently restrictive, and it's hurting people that need capital, small businesses in America that fund 55% of all job growth in America. Obviously, consumers on the lower end who are paying just today, we had a great political panel. I'll tell you about in a second. You know, the bottom half of our country, 50% of their entire paycheck is going to rent and utility. 50%. That means the rest is there for food. When inflation slows down, there's still inflation. Prices are still going up. They're just going up more slowly. So ICE did a fantastic job. In case you don't know who ICE is, Intercontinental Exchange, they bought Encompass. Ellie Mae a couple years ago. They have a fantastic leadership team here. And they put on the summit. They've recently purchased Black Knight. So they got MSP, which is a software for servicing loans. They have the bulk of share for that. And of course, they own other, you know, software, MERS, Simplifile, you know, all kinds of stuff. So the summit here today is some of the customers are invited and they have some panels. And where I got that stat, the 50% on utilities rent, Senator Kelly Loeffler of Georgia is married to the CEO of ICE, Intercontinental Exchange, which when they bought LMA, rebranded ICE Mortgage Technology. And they also own the New York Stock Exchange, huge data and analytics company. The CEO is Jeff Sprecher. He had a panel today with Jason Sudeikis. He moderated. For those that watched Ted Lasso or Saturday Night Live, he was on stage. I took a picture with him. It's cool. Hey, I'm doing my video. Say hi to the Total Expert team. And Kelly had Donna Brazile and Karl Rove on her panel, which is awesome. Bid Jackson, the president of ICE, he was up there with Damar Hamlin, who is the Buffalo Bills player that had a cardiac event, commotio carditis, I believe is what it's called, like 1/400th or 1/40th of a millisecond, some crazy number. When your heart takes a hit, it messes up the electrical rhythm. And if you guys remember that football game in Cincinnati between the Bills on that field, Damar was almost dead. 97% of people who have that issue die. Unless, of course, you're right next to an AED, a defibrillator, and you're with a well-trained staff, and they saved his life. He came back out, and he played. He was here today. He was hanging out with us today. His birthday's Sunday. He'll be 26. Really brilliant young man who started a charity donating AEDs, defibrillators, to schools all around the country. Also donating time and training for CPR. And he's got Chasing M's, is one of his charities. So anyway, awesome event. Lots going on. Got to go into dinner. I'm super late, as usual, rolling late. Have a great week. Watch out for the Fed. We'll get back on Thursday. Cheers.
Hey, it's KP coming to you live from Corona, California. Well, back at the desk 1 week later. Just got back from Vegas last night. ICE Experience 24. It was a really great show. It's just a humongous, awesome, incredible show at the Wynn in Las Vegas. Very well done. It's nice to see a lot of other people come be part of it who, you know, now that Black Knight is has been acquired by ICE, you see a lot of these different types of clients that you haven't seen before on the servicing side, whatnot. So great, great conference. Obviously, hat tip to everyone there. I had a panel that Jonas Moe, SVP of Marketing and Market Strategy, together with Eric, and we had a great time, man. Maria Fregosi from Lennar Mortgage, SVP of Operations, and of course, Selma Happ, Chief Economist at CoreLogic. What a great panel, just giving some market insights. So now that that show's over, it's time to shift our focus to the California Mortgage Banker Association, your state association from the mortgage banking side of, like, what, 28% of all the mortgage universe is right here in California. We are putting on, and I'm co-chairing, the Mortgage Innovators Conference, MIC, the Mortgage Innovators Conference. It's May 8th in Anaheim. Paul Gelati and I, together with the brilliant leadership of Susan Malazzo, CEO, I think of 22 years, and the entire team, the planning committee, and everyone else, Nick Foster from Lions Media. It's going to be a great event, so hopefully we'll be there. It's the last tech show of the year. We've got some great title sponsors that are already there. So that's it. That's my plug. Come sign up. Let's talk about the Fed meeting. Let's talk about the NAR settlement. Holy smokes, there's a lot. I got some original thoughts on both. I do want to say existing home sales data came out and it's up, right? So, you know, I was reading Ivy Zelman's research from Zelman Associates. They're a Walker Dunlop company. Was introduced to her and team by Barry Habib during the pandemic when they were trying to get some data and some color from lenders and all the crazy stuff we're going through with margin calls and cash restrictions and everything else. And she's got some great data. If you aren't subscribing to their information, I highly, highly recommend it. Anyway, they do a good breakdown. Cash buyers are like, what, 33, 34%, something like that? 33% up from 32%. I think 21% of all homes being sold are investment property. Pretty powerful stuff. Mike Simonson, Altos Research, which is now a company owned by HousingWire, he put out some information. There are 500,000 new listings, or 500,000 listings now, like 55,000 or something new for the week. 500,000 listings across the country. We're up 22% more than last year. More inventory being sold means more that will get sold, which means more business for us. And we're noticing that locks are up, pipelines are up, fundings are up. It's a good time to be in the mortgage business. We've had a pretty mild winter. That was something that Ivy Zelman pointed out. And that's good, obviously, especially you look at the insurer, you know, homeowners insurance companies. If they have less claims and less things going on, if oil and gas isn't as expensive because it isn't as cold and, you know, people's pocketbooks aren't getting hurt as much, you know, these are all very favorable trends that are going on. So maybe Punxsutawney Phil was right. He didn't see a shadow, so Springer sprung early. Okay, let's talk about the Fed meeting. Super important. I'm going to dig in for a little bit. I'm going to talk about some points you may not have heard. I want to give Barry and Dan Habib at MBS Highway a huge hat tip because they broke down a lot of the data, like the PCE, right? The personal consumption expenditure. That is the Fed's preferred gauge of inflation. It's literally called the Fed deflator. Now, that report comes out next Friday. Okay, that's the 29th. That's a big one. And historically, it's a 2.4%, just all the time. So I know there's this fixation, like we must get to 2% or under, and then they're cutting. That's not necessarily the case. There are a lot of other factors. Inflation isn't the only thing that the Fed has mandated. Remember, it's a tri-mandate. They have to also have full employment, maximum employment, price stability, inflation, and then moderate long-term rates. Okay, so they have to sell treasuries around the world. Now, the inflation number that the dot plot, the SEP, the Summary of Economic Projections, that the Fed put out, they just put out yesterday. They haven't put out since December 13th. And when they did it on December 13th, they said 75 basis points of cuts this year with all the boats that are there. And that moved the markets. Literally, rates are down a whole point less than where they were. And we see that the 10-year Treasury is in this technical range. It has not gotten above 4.35. You guys know that I follow Mark Newton, head of technical strategy. At Fundstrat, you might see Tom Lee, which is head of strategy, chief investment officer and CEO of Fundstrat. He's on CNBC all the time. And, you know, Mark Newton said that technically we may have hit our peak for yields. There's a lot of probability in saying that. And we've seen, if you look at the charts on MBS Highway, you can see that 4.35 range is a very tough nut to crack. We have not gone above it since the December 13th meeting when the Fed said they're going to have 75 basis points of cut in this year. They said it again. Now, it's a vote of the 19 members, and actually, they're only one vote away from that being closer to 50, the way the dots lined up. But that's not the only factor, okay? When, right? When are they going to start cutting? The word soon was injected into the conversation, the statement, and the Q&A by Fed Chair Jerome Powell. Soon. Now, what's he talking about? Quantitative tightening is them running off their balance sheet, right? So the Fed balance sheet got as high as like $8.4 trillion. It's down about $1.5 trillion from its peak sometime in April of 22. It is down $1.5 trillion. So they are running off their balance sheet. So they're letting, you know, old treasuries expire, old mortgage-backed securities run off, expire. They're not rebuying them, aka injecting liquidity into the system. Remember, our world, our economy, our everything has to do with the velocity of money, liquidity. Mortgage-backed securities, we buy and sell money that is backed by the home and land and collateral, and of course, the borrower making that payment. So liquidity is important. The Fed repo facility is running out. That is a liquidity instrument the Fed put out a year ago, right? They use it often, but it really got used once the banks started to fail. We saw some failings about a year ago in March. Remember that happened about a year ago. So we just saw a pseudo failure with NYCB. Private capital had to come in. Treasury Secretary Mnuchin with $1.1 billion to stand up that balance sheet, because NYCB owns a bunch of multifamily units that are under a lot of duress and pressure in New York. And so there will be other banks that are going to feel the sufficiently restrictive high for longer. It's not higher for longer, because they stopped raising rates in July. Okay, higher means more. We haven't gone higher. So it feels like higher because inflation is falling. And when inflation falls, the real rate, the nominal rate, you know, we talk about nominal real rate between the 550 and the 2.8 or whatever we're at, every time inflation comes down, that real rate is restricting even more. And so, again, this economy is being restricted. Manufacturing has been in a full-blown recession for more than 14 months. We went through it in housing for about a year and a half. So there are different segments of the country that go through different recessions. We're rolling recession. We may not have a full-on everybody recesses at the same time, every industry at the same time. But when you look at the velocity of money, and it is slowing, and the money supply is slowing, and quantitative tightening has been running off the balance sheet, and this Fed repo facility is almost out of money, what are banks going to do when they've got to get rid of assets that, if they mark them to market, it will crater their balance sheet, and they don't have the liquidity to offset that? There's less liquidity, so we may see some bank failures. The FDIC spent a ton of money on the big bank failures last year, right? Signature Bank, First Republic, Silicon Valley. So they kind of tapped out. That's taxpayer dollars, by the way. So this deal with NYCB, we saw private capital come in to help stand up a balance sheet. Will that be the soup du jour? Will that continue to be the thing when the Fed repo facility runs out of money and the Fed sees more banks failing? Are they going to have to line up, more private capital come in? We shall see. Now, what else happened in the dot plot? Okay. They put their unemployment rate down from 4.1 in December 13 to 4%. Now, that's important, because if they think we're going to be at 4% in unemployment for the rest of the year, and we're at 3.9 now, we know there's some wonky numbers there with January and February, with seasonal adjustments, population control, and people leaving the workforce and counting part-time workers. And we see a lot of headlines, obviously, in ADP. That number keeps coming down on what's being, employed on the white-collar side. We watch jobless claims, the continuous claims still around 1.8, 1.9 million, in that range between the two. If unemployment is a great point that Dan and Barry Habib brought up, that if unemployment gets to 4.1%, well, how uncomfortable will the Fed be when the majority of their board is dovish? You can't have liquidity and velocity of money if people are losing their jobs and there is no money to spend. Wage inflation is relatively good at just 4.1% in the last BLS jobs report. So unemployment is going to be just as important, or even more important now, than the 2% target of inflation. The Fed at the last three meetings, Powell has said, we don't have to be at 2 for them to start cutting. The historical average is 2.4. So again, great breakdown by the MBS Highway team. I will mention one other thing about the Fed, and then I'm going to get into the NAR settlement. And thank you for lasting here with me in my longest video ever. We're almost done. It's very important. We're going on the weekend. You got plenty of time to listen. The Bank of Japan raised their rate to zero. They were a negative rate, raised their rate to zero. And that's probably the last major bank of the G10, G7, all the major economies to raise rates. Okay. They also said they're going to stop yield curve control, which means they're not going to spend their own money and kind of like inflate their balance sheet. So that's a form of tightening, actually. So what's interesting is the yen carry trade, right? The spread between, let's say, the US dollar and the yen, it just got tighter. So there's less money to be made there. That's actually really bullish for US treasuries, which means more money would come this way, which actually brings yields down. So another thing brought up by Mark Newton in that 4.35 technical peak of the 10-year treasury that they're calling. Now, we can't get quite below 3.89. Maybe we need the Fed to actually start cutting the rates. where inflation to really come in. And that next technical level of the 10-year treasury below 3.89 is 3.25%. That's a full point where we're at below today. And you'll start to see, you know, profit come in, spreads, you know, obviously come in between the 10-year treasury and 30-year fixed mortgage. So those are all things. All these central banks move in concert. So when are they going to start cutting? Well, Switzerland cut. Switzerland cut. The Bank of Swiss, they cut their version of their treasury. And Christine Lagarde of the EU, you know, she said, she's like Fed Chair Powell version for Europe. She said, and this is from Louis Navalieri, pointed this out, one of my stock subscription. He says, by June, we will have a new set of projections that will confirm whether the inflation path we foresaw in our March forecast remains valid. So they're all planning to cut rates around the same time. They all kind of do. They don't want each other's economies to get hurt and currencies to get hurt. We saw them do it all the way up, and they're going to do it all again on the way down. And so, you know what? Last May and June, last year, I thought May was likely the first time to be cut, and it's looking less likely now. It might be June. So, Robert, wherever you are out there, I might have to owe you a steak. But that's okay. I like steak and red wine. So if it happens in June, get ready. I mean, the second half of this year is going to be busy, but purchase and refinance. Now, NAR settlement, some original thought that I have. What changed is the disclosures, right? Most regulators and most rulings want to see disclosures and protect borrowers. All the change is the seller and the seller's agent can't tell the buyer how much they got to pay. So now there's three sets of disclosures. The seller and the selling agent is going to disclose how much they're going to charge each other and pay for. Buyer's agent and buyer has to negotiate that. And it's already very expensive for borrowers to get into homes. The cost of home, you know, the down payment is the biggest, you know, home ownership hurdle. So do they suddenly have more money to pay for now a buy-side agent commission? That's going to make it actually a little tougher for, you know, maybe our lower-end borrowers. And then the third disclosure will be between those two parties, who's paying what? Whose offer's getting accepted? Supply did not go up, okay? It takes an incredible effort between valuable real estate agents on both sides of the transaction to negotiate on behalf of both seller and buyer to get the best price possible and get their offers accepted. That strength in numbers approach, you know, getting together with a national lender, a local lender, someone that has the ability to close loans and has done it historically, that strength in numbers approach is even more important now with this settlement. So yeah, maybe some of the lower end agents don't do a good job, don't do enough volume, don't have enough reputation. They may get cut out of the deal. Takes an incredible army, an incredible ground force to coordinate and show houses and get everything done, especially for first-time homebuyers who have no idea how to negotiate on their own behalf. So I don't think the army need just got reduced, just how they get paid is a little bit different. So ultimately, I think, you know, it's going to be pretty much business as usual. Have a great week. See you in Louisville. TMC, baby. Cheers.
You've been listening to KP Talks Dollars and Cents, a top-rated show for those who want to learn about the economy and mortgage environment. Tune in each week for more episodes, and please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Kevin Perenio does not render or offer to render personalized investment or tax advice through KP Talks Dollars and Cents. The information provided is for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial, tax, investment, or legal advice. For more info, follow KP Talks Dollars and Cents on all of our social channels.